Amen. If you got your Bibles, turn to Revelations 2:14 real quick. I've been talking to you for this second week, I guess, or the battle for the heart of the church. Number one was last week, if you remember, we talked about the Nicolaites, that they were a sect that divided the church. And today we'll be talking about a very interesting character, and his name is Balaam. But let me just speak a little bit about what we talked last week, right? We talked about the royal command, that the way you defeat this kind of attack from the enemy is through love. And if you remember, we talked about the royal command, about loving your brother as you love yourself. Amen? I hope this past week you put that to use. You know, we talked about being kind, about, you know, loving your brother. I hope this past week it was in your heart that you treated people better. You know, if you expect for people to be good to you, then you got to give it first. Let me give you a prime example of what I'm talking about. Let me tell you this story. I told this story to the young people on Wednesday. There was this young man that fell in this hole of mud. And he was sinking and he was about to die. So he started screaming and he was saying, "Help, help, help." And this poor farmer was working on the fields and he happened to hear the screams of this child. So he took off running, went to the place, and he reached his hand and pulled him out. So that was it, right? Next day, he's again working on his farm, this man, and this beautiful carriage, right, in those days with horses, comes to his house. And this very distinguished man pulls out. He was a nobleman. And he says, "Were you the farmer who rescued my son from death?" And he said, "Yes, I am. I want to reward you with finances." And he said, "I can't accept that because I did it from my own heart." At the moment when he said that, his son came out of the house. The nobleman saw his son and said, "I'll tell you what. Well, let me do this for you. Just like my son who could have died, I'm going to give him the best education that money can have. Let me do the same for your son." And he said, "Okay." So his son became a great man. His son became a man that he became sir. They called him. He became a nobleman himself. And this man became a doctor. And this doctor, his name is Flemings. Who can tell me who the name Fleming is? That's right. The inventor of the, I always have a problem pronouncing that word, penicillin, right? Is that penicillin? There we go. Yeah. He invented that. If God can use a foreigner like me, he can use you. Right? Praise God. Well, it happens that that nobleman, his son also got pneumonia one day. And guess how he got healed? Now, let me tell you who this man was. His name was Sir Winston Churchill. "Do unto others like you like them do unto you." This is the royal command that we are to live for. Live by the days of our life. And that's what we talked about last week. We talked about the Nicolaites, how they divided the church. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about Balaam. This is a very interesting character in the Bible. And if you go to Revelations 2:14, this is what he says. We find his name in the New Testament again. And he says, "But I have a few things against you, because you have there some who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to throw a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality." Now, three things that I read in this. Number one is that you notice that he said he threw a stumbling block. Say stumbling block. And the stumbling blocks were this. Number one was idolatry. And number two was sexual immorality. Before I come into my preaching, I want to talk to you a little bit about Balaam. So turn your Bible to Numbers real quick. Go to Numbers chapter 22. Very interesting man, this Balaam. Now, let me tell you, Balaam was a man who worked through divination. Balak wanted to hire this man to curse Israel. Now, I guess we can compare this to today's day. People going maybe to a warlock or a witch or kill their chickens, you know, spread blood, whatever they want to do, you know. I guess we can compare that to that in a way, right? But this man was a man that worked through divination. Now, if we go to Numbers 22, let's start on verse 7. Now, let me lay a foundation about this man. It is a very interesting character of the Bible. I'm serious. Very interesting. 22:7. And he says, so the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee in their hand. And they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. Now, what were the words of Balak? The words of Balak were, go curse these people that is coming. What happened was these people of God, you know, Balak was a king. Say Balak. Balak was a king of the Moabites. And what happened is that he saw the Israelites coming towards him. And he knew what was going to happen next. God had given a command to them to destroy them. So the king of Moab, Balak, said, you know what? I'm going to curse these people. So he inquired of Balaam. Balaam was, it's very interesting what this man is. He can be a prophet, a false prophet, a diviner. He worked in many different ways. And though he called them and said, I want you to curse these people. Because, man, they're too many. I can't fight them. So, you know, we hear that Balak sends these people to go talk to Balaam. Now, turn to your, go to verse 12. Something very interesting in that verse, he says this. It says, that he took with them the fee of divination. I guess what I'm thinking, he took some money to pay for him to curse them. But this is what Balaam said. Verse 12, he says, and God said to Balaam, you should not go with them. You should not curse them, the people, for they are blessed. This is what God told Balaam. He goes, you are not to go with him. You are not to curse these people because they are blessed. Okay, if God were to appear to you and say, okay, son, daughter, don't curse those people. What does that mean to you? Don't curse them. Very simple, right? Amen. I'll tell you what. Now let's go to verse 17. And what happened was this. When Balak heard that he didn't want to curse these people, he sent another bunch to them, more prestige men. And they said, if you curse these people, we're going to reward you handsomely. In other words, first it was just a fee of divination. Now it was like, if you come with us, we're going to give you great wealth. This is what he said, but this is what he said on verse 17. He says, for I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come, curse these people for me. So see, the first time it was just a fee of divination. Now it was like, no. If you come, I'm going to give you great wealth. So see, here we got Balaam, right? And this is his answer. Let's read it. He says, Balaam answered on verse 18. Put verse 18 there. He says, then Balaam answered and said to the servant of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord, my God, or do less or more. That sounds very spiritual, right? This man knew what to say, right? Well, I cannot go curse these people. I can only speak what God tells me to speak. Sounds similar, right, in today's day? But we'll get to there in a minute. Now, go to verse 20 now. Now, God comes to Balaam a second time. And this is what God tells Balaam the second time on verse 20. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, If the men come to call you, rise and go with them. But only the word which I speak to you, that you shall do. Now look in verse 21. So Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princess of Moab. What is wrong with this picture? God said, if the men come to you in the morning, go with them. But see, we see in the next verse, Balaam is already getting his car ready. He He's already buying the plane ticket. He's already at the bus stop. But God said this, if they come in the morning. So what happened here? What happened? First of all, you know, they asked him to curse his people. Second of all, he said, wait, I'm going to inquire of the Lord. God told him very clearly, you shall not go. But it's happened today so many times. You know, we go to God and we say, God, can I have this? And God says, no. And then what happens later again? God, can I have this? What part of no do you not understand the first time? But see, look, I want to show you something. What happened was the Balaam, when the words of the prince spoke to his heart and said, I'm going to give you money. His heart went, money. See, his words sounded like, oh, I'm a man of God. No. But his heart had different intentions. Now, let's turn to, go to verse 23 now. I'm laying a foundation. I want you to know about Balaam first before we talk about him, right? Verse 23, he says, let me go back a little bit. Then what happened? He saddled his donkey, right? He saddled his donkey, and he started going on his donkey and his servants. And what happened while he's riding his donkey, the angel of the Lord stands in his path with a drawn sword in his hand. And he's ready to chop his head off. But look on verse 23, it says, now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord. Okay, there's a problem here. When the donkey saw the Lord, but the man didn't. Let me go back a little bit. You know, this happens today's day. It really does. Because, see, we know God's will, but we want to see how fast we can go. But, see, look, you got to understand the nature of God so that way you know how to ask. Look, number one, God is light. What does that mean if God is light? That means there's no darkness in him. You know, don't go praying, Lord, should I go and drink some alcohol in this club? Do you know that that goes against what God is light? God is life. Don't go and say, God, should I abort my child? God is life. Hello? God is peace. So please, don't cause discord. God is not going to tell you ever cause discord. God is love, so he's not going to have resentment. God is forgiven, so there's no grudges. God is holy, so there should be no impurity. So you got to learn how to ask God according to how he is. This is why a lot of people don't get what they ask, because in James it says they ask amiss. Because they're asking for their own enticements, then ask him for the will of God. See, if God is light, I mean, you're not going to go and ask God to do something in darkness. Right? Now, if you messed up and if I messed up, hey, you know what? We messed up. Right? So let's go back to the donkey. And he says in verse 20, let's read verse 27 again. He says, and when the donkey saw the Lord, the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused and struck the donkey with his staff. So imagine this. He said, I guess the donkey will be here, and this is Balaam on top of him. And he's just smacking the donkey. He's angry. And then he said, look at the next verse. He says, then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey and said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me this three times? You know you're going the wrong way when a donkey speaking to you. I mean, come on, right? Imagine your dog starts going, and you don't go that way. But no, this is, look, let's go to the next verse. It says, then Balaam said to the donkey, oh, man, come on. Now this guy is having a conversation with the donkey. Okay, people of God, if I ever see you talking to a cow, okay, I will be going the opposite way. I know you're going the wrong way. And he said, because you have mocked me, I would there were, if I had a sword in my hand, I would have killed you. Listen to Balaam. He said, if I had a sword in my hand, I would have killed you already. But you know what? There was a sword there. But that sword was not for the donkey. That sword was for him. Actually, the donkey saved this man's life. You know what? I heard this. This is a proverb. It's not from the Bible. Okay, so don't go look for it because it's not there. It's one of those proverbs from elders, people that left it behind. And this is what he says. He says, if somebody tells you you're a donkey, don't worry about it. But if 10 people tell you you're a donkey, buy a saddle. Doesn't it happen to us? People tell us, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. The first time, maybe, you know what? Well, just, you know. But after 100 people tell you don't do that, I mean, come on. At one point, you got to open your eyes and say, wait a second. And that's what happened to Balaam. God told him not to go. But there he goes. I don't care. I'm still going. Amen? Now, verse 31, he says, then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. Oh, yeah. I think I would have too. It sounds like this man was a very spiritual man, right? Like, wow, look at him. He bowed down. But see, God can see the intents of the heart. God can see past the exterior appearances that we do. God can read the inmost thoughts of our hearts and our conscience. He knows everything. Now, go to verse 35. I'm just talking about Balaam. I want you to get to know this character first. Verse 35, then he says, then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word I speak to you, that you shall speak. So Balaam went with the princess of Balak. Here we go again. God told him now 3 times. First one, he said, don't go. Second one, if they call you, go. And now we go all the way to the 3rd time when he's telling him again, do not curse these people. What don't you understand? Do not curse these people. Amen? Do you get a kind of clear picture of this man, right? Now, let me see. Where am I at? Now, go to 23:20 now. Oh, I love this part. This is so cool. God is good. God really is good. Go to 23:20, it says. 23:20, it says, Balak takes Balaam to the mountain, and Balaam is looking to the people, and Balak is hoping that he will curse them. But look what he says. He says on verse 20, behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. You know, it is like God to bless his children. You know what? Let those witches cut the head of the chickens. Let them do their hex and their whatever they do. God will bless. Every time this guy tried to curse him, he blessed him. And even if he had opened his big mouth, God will still bless him. God loves his children, and God wants to bless his children, not curse them. Bless them. Bless them. God wants to bless you, not curse you. We're not under the curse anymore, praise God. And then he goes now, Numbers 24:9. Go to 24:9 now. He goes again to the mountain, and he looks down again to Israel. The second time he goes to try to curse him. And this is what he says on verse 9. He says, he bows down, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who shall rouse him. Blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you. Oh, what a good God we serve. I tell you what, lift your hands to heaven. Let's just praise. Father, we bless you. Oh, Father, thank you that we're blessed and not cursed. Thank you, Lord God, we're blessed. We're highly favored of the Lord God. We give you the honor, Father. Bless you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Now go to 24:17. This is a word the Lord really wants you to know. I'm telling you. Verse 17. Now he goes to a third mountain. And here he goes with Balak again. Curse him. Curse him. And this is what he says the third time. Verse 17. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. Who's that star? A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult. This man started seeing a vision of Jesus when he saw Israel, because we're the body of Christ. How can the devil curse what God has blessed? You know, sometimes the church is so scared. They're scared. Scared of witches, warlocks, devils. Got to get that out. Get it out. God's a good God. Now, Numbers 24, 1 to 5. I'm almost done laying the foundation for this man. And then we'll talk about today's teaching. 24, 1 through 5. Now, look at this. It says, now when Balaam saw that he what? He pleased the Lord to bless Israel. He did not go as other times to seek using sorcery. Here we got a diviner. A man that was in divination. Or maybe a man that knew God to a certain point, but he went bad at one point. But now he says that he noticed that he pleases God to bless his children. And this is what he says. He did not go as the other times to seek to use sorcery, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped according to the tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Wow, he got anointed with God. Because God used him, instead of cursing him, to bless his people. Today you don't live under the law. We live under the law of the Spirit. The curse has been broken. There's a name, his name is Jesus Christ. And he broke every curse that was laying in your life. Today you do not live under the curse, under the bandages of the old days. You are to be free. Amen? Now, let's get going now. Go back to Revelation 2:14. Revelations 2:14. And this is what he says. But I have a few things against you. Because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed by idols and commit sexual immorality. You know what? Like I just said right now, you cannot curse what God has blessed. So what happened? What happened to the children of Israel when they couldn't be cursed? Go back to Numbers again. I tell you what, maybe you should leave your finger there on Numbers. Numbers 25. Remember, I told you that he threw a stumbling block. And the stumbling block were two things: idolatry and sexual immorality. He says in Numbers 25, 1, 2, and 3. Numbers 25, 1, 2, and 3. Now Israel was staying in Shittim. The man began to indulge in sexual immorality or commit a harlotry with the women of Moab, who invited them to sacrifice to their god. The people bowed down before these gods. Now, let me teach you what Balaam did. It says that Balaam was teaching Balak how to throw a stumbling block for the children of Israel. And those stumbling blocks were two things: were idolatry and sexual immorality. There was a people that could not be touched by the enemy. But because Balaam knew something, what he did, he went to talk to Balak and said, put some women in their path. Put an idol in their heart. And if you do these things, they will fall themselves. You know what happened? That day, 23,000 Israelites died. Because they knew, because God had already told them to stay away from these things. How do I know that? Well, second commandment says, you shall not have another God before me. Commandment number 7 says, you shall not commit adultery. 23,000 people died because the children of Israel were enticed. What is the word enticed means? Let me tell you what the word enticed means. It's kind of interesting. Where did I write it down? I wrote it here somewhere. Oh, yeah, there we go. Enticed. To persuade by an offer of pleasure. This stumbling block has become the number one thing that the enemy has thrown to the United States. A nation like the United States, who was founded by Christian people, who the Constitution is all through the Bible. A nation that could not be cursed. The enemy threw a stumbling block. Today's day, look around, people. What has happened? The United States has become the number one in pornographic movies. It's become sexually immoral. Abortion doesn't start in the clinic. Abortion starts when sin enters. Abortion doesn't start in the clinic when the lady's already pregnant. It started days before when that person was enticed to commit immorality. When 12, 13-year-old kids are having sex in school, we have to open our eyes that something's not right. The devil is using Balak's enticement all over again. All over again. The same thing is happening today. Nothing has changed. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, 6. Let's read this real quick. You know, when it becomes a joke in our public schools, when it becomes a joke, when sex becomes a joke in our public school, when, you know, people of God, if right now maybe you have a younger youth or something and then you're upset about what I'm saying, let me tell you one thing that I learned in the world. When I was in the world, people talked about these things like nothing happens. They talk about it in school, colleges, everywhere. But you know what? When I got saved, it's like the church is like we're hiding. Like, well, those stuff are not going on. when we're supposed to be the light. If you don't teach your children's Hollywood will. If you don't teach your children's, the public school will teach them. And they will teach them a corrupted way. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 to 6. He says, 4, 3, and 3, 4, 5, and 6. He says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each one should avoid, that each one should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like pagans who do not know God, and that in the matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish for all such sins. The Lord will punish for these sins. This is one of the stumbling blocks that is happening to the people of God today. We're not looking and seeing how the enemy is throwing the stumbling blocks, and we're allowing it. It is God's will. Look what he says. It is God's will. That how many times does God have to tell us that it's his will? One time. I have to read the Bible one time to know that God told me that. It is God's will that we avoid immorality. The Lord will punish men for such sins. Now, how do you get this verse, people of God? When I say this, it said, oh man, it shouldn't be like that. We should be able to watch whatever we want, and, you know, we should be able to do all these things because, you know what, it's not sin. We should be able to go and, you know, commit adultery or whatever. Or do you see it like, man, I better be careful because God is telling me something. Or you say it like this, God, I know you said that, and I believe you, and I receive it. Because, see, this is one of the keys of what happened to Balaam. The word of God only restricted Balaam to do what he wanted to do. The love for the word of God and for the commands of God were not in his heart. It was just a restraining, like, oh, I know God is telling me this, but man, God, why do you tell me to do this? It's not the love there for God is not in you saying, God, I love you because I love you, I won't do it. Because I love you, I will follow you. Because I love you, I will keep it. And see, this is the problem with Balaam. The words were just restricting him. It was just a restriction for him. The love for God was not there. We need to mature to the level where God's word, it's a love and a joy in our hearts. So we can obey and keep it. Amen? Now, go to Acts chapter 15 real quick. I want to show you something. You see the difference also between the life of David and the life of Saul. You guys know who that is, right? David and Saul. Saul was the king that was anointed before David. You know, the Bible says that Saul, he heard the word of God too. But for some reason or another, he wouldn't keep it. And this is what God said about David. Why was David a man after God's own heart? Was it because he played the harp? Was it because he can put a few notes and write some psalms? Well, is that what made him a man after God's own heart? In Acts 13:22, it says this, and just write it down and see it later. It says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do my will. That's what a man after God's own heart is. A man that does God's will. Now, Acts 15:26 to 39. Acts 15, 26 through 29. Let me go to that one too. Verse 20, let's start on verse 20, 26. It says, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than this, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from this, you will do well. This was the message to the church in those days, because the same thing was happening. If you kept these two things, he says, those two things, you'll do well. Because see, those two sins are the only sins that you will do with this inside. When you commit sexual immorality, what happens? You're using your soul. When you're in idolatry, the idol is within you. And that's what he said. If you abstain from these two things, you will do well. Amen? Now, look at the life of Joseph. Joseph picked jail. Joseph picked the jail than to commit adultery. Why? Because he knew that there was a promise for him. And he knew that if he fell to that, it would be a stumbling block for him. And you see it in the church today. People falter. And then they wonder why they have such a hard time to serve God. Why they cannot reach God when they're praying. Why? Well, because the stumbling block. Let me talk about Balaam's root. The root of Balaam was idolatry. See, when the men came from the Moabites and they told him, I will reward you handsomely. I will give you money. He spoke to the idol in his heart, which was covetousness. He wanted that to the point that when God had told him already, do not do that, he still went afterwards. Maybe he couldn't curse Israel from the mountaintop, but later on he went to Balak and said, well, you know what? I can't curse them, but let me tell you how to do this. Why? Because of the money. And those words spoke to the idol in the heart of the person. Today, people have idols in their hearts. It can be power. It can be money. It can be relationships. It can be sin. So what happens? They will find somebody that will speak to the idol in their hearts. Don't worry, it's okay. Just enjoy yourself. Everything is going to be fine. Life, oh, enjoy life. Because it speaks to the idol that they have in their hearts. That is just a restriction for them. But once the word takes away the restriction, then they go forth and do whatever they want. The root of it in his heart was idolatry. It happens today all the time. God can tell you something, but no, we'll do something else. God can say something, well, you know what? We'll do something else. It happens today. So many times. God will speak to your heart and say, daughter, son, this is what you are to do. But see, it doesn't speak to that idol of what you want, that desire. A lot of people will say, well, Brother Marvin, the Bible says that God will give me all the desires of my heart. Wait a second. You got to read it in context of what he's saying. Psalms 37 says this. It says, do not fret over evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. Because soon let the grass that will wither and the green grass that will die away. Look what he says about the wicked man first. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. And you will see your righteousness shine. That's what Psalms 37 says. It doesn't just say, well, God is going to give me. Why? Because they want that word to speak to their desire. That's what happens a lot today. Especially also, man, it just happens in so many ways. Happens in business. It happens in everyday life. Do not go in business with that person. Well, man, but don't do it. Unequally yoked. No. But you see the word, they're waiting for a word that speaks to the idol to bring it out. Let me show you something real quick. Covetousness. What is covetousness? Covetousness is the desire or wish for with eagerness to obtain and possess something. You know how you know you're in covetousness? Instead of waiting for the reward of God, it will steal your peace. It becomes a force that you just want. Oh, I want this. I gotta have it. And the covetousness rises up. And then what happens? Even God takes a second place in your life. Because now, whatever you're looking at becomes the most important thing in your life. I always notice this, man. I notice this so many times. People come to church because they're in need. But as soon as the need is met, vámonos, they're gone. They're gone. What happened to love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your strength? What happened to putting God first? I always wonder about that. You know, I know I said this before. People say, oh, I love God. And, you know, Brother Emilio said something about worship. You know, to love God is not just a word. It's got it done through actions. I always hear that in the world. Do you love God, brother? Yes, I do. Do you go to church? No. Do you pray? No. Do you tithe? No. Do you praise God? No. Did you go to the Tejana bar last week? Yes. Oh, yeah. Man, we were like, ding, ding. And God took a second place, and before you know it, it took a third, fourth, fifth. Before you know it, that God is not even in their thoughts. The idol. What dominates your mind? What dominates your thinking? It's a God. It says godliness with contentment is great gain. Timothy 6:6. Contentment, when you are content about life, when you're content, it brings peace. That doesn't mean you got to stay there. It means that you're content. As long as God is with you, you're content. The reward or whatever's ahead doesn't take the place where God stands. God continues to be first, whether you have it or don't have it. You know why people a lot of times don't get what they're asking for? Because God knows that as soon as you get it, you're going to put that first. And you're going to forget about him. The idol in the heart. Those words, people come and speak to their idols in their heart. It's okay, brother, it's okay. Everything, it's okay. You know? But it's not okay. Because we want you to be blessed. We want you to be full of joy and full of peace. That's our heart's desire. Amen? Now, almost done. Let's go to 2 Peter 2:15. We're almost done. Let's go to the New Testament. This is not an Old Testament word. This is a New Testament word. 2 Peter 2:15. This is what the Bible says on 2 Peter 2:15. They have forsaken the right way. What is the right way? God's way. And gone astray, following the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now, go to the next verse, please. Look what it, there comes the donkey again. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey. I like this translation better. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice. Restrain the madness of the prophet. Restrain his madness because he wanted it so bad. He was going to go curse him no matter what. And he did. He did. He did do it. Maybe he didn't curse him from the mountain, but he was teaching Balak how to do it. One more verse. Go to 2nd. Let me see. 2 Peter now, 3, 17 and 18. Second Peter 3, 17 and 18, it says, therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you might not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. And this is what God says, so you can continue in that. Grow in the grace. Wait a second, what do you mean grow in the grace? Grow in the grace? We have to grow in grace? Wow. That's what he says. You know, I'm not even going to say what I think. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory, now, both, and forevermore. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. This is how you overcome these stumbling blocks. Because the more you know your master, the more you love him, the more you care about him, the less you will be enticed by this world. I tell you what, do you want to know what happened to Balaam? Who would like to know what Balaam's end was? Do you want to know? We'll find it. We find it in Joshua, believe it or not. Go to Joshua real quick. Joshua 13, 22. Joshua 13, 22, we find Balaam's end. Incredible, man. It is. Now, look, this is what he says. He says, the children of Israel also killed with the sword Balaam, the son of Beor, the soothsayer among those who were killed by them. Now, let me give you one more verse. Go to Joshua 24, 9 and 10. And I will tell you, I'm going to show you where he died. It says, then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. Next verse. But I would not listen to Balaam, therefore he continued to bless you, so I deliver you out of his hand. Next verse. Then you went over to the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you also, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. You know where Balaam died? In the same place where we went to talk to Balak, in Moab. I'm thinking probably when he went to get his money, that's when Israel invaded them and cut him to the sword. Here we go, a man, the soul of God, visions, die as a soothsayer, a diviner. Incredible. Incredible. Praise God. Let me read you one thing before we're dismissed. Go ahead, brother. Jude. Go to Jude real quick. I'm going to read you these two verses and just write them down and meditate on them when you get home. Number one is Jude 1:4. It says, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turned the grace of our God into a license to sin and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." What do you mean they deny? Does that mean that they don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord, or they just deny it? You know where my answer was found? In Titus 1:16. And this is what he says in Titus 1:16. He says, they profess to know God, but in works deny him. You know how we deny the Lord, people of God? By our actions. By our actions. There's a people out there looking for the light of this world. You know what? In this church, we always say we're the light of the world. But you know what? A light is not hidden under. A light is not hidden. A light shines bright. And you know what? My desire for my life first and my family's life is that we walk in that light. When the enemy comes to entice you or throw a stumbling block in your life, you have to be ready to stand strong with might. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah.